I did notice that last podcast, you didn't even go Bro Dave.
No.
You just went Other Dave.
I'm trying to back out of it.
You're totally backing out of it.
It's a little late because it's, you know, pretty far into the season.
Well, I'm sure our tens of listeners will be upset that you backed out of Bro Dave.
You can rebrand like halfway through.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, man, with the way our audience is growing, the time to do it is now. before we get to thousands of people listening. So here we are. It's Fantasy Outliers, the podcast brought to you by fantasyoutliers.com. This is Dave.
And Other Dave.
And we made it, everybody.
Oh,
it is last week. 13, the last week of the regular season. So we are here to give you our reactions to MathBox rankings for week 13 with a mind to help you with who to start, who to sit, who to spot start, and who to never add to your roster. We hope it helps. We hope it's been helpful this whole season. And before we jump into it, Dave.
Yeah.
How are we looking?
How am I looking?
Yeah.
My
going into week
team?
13. You got four teams.
I got four teams.
I don't want to run down of all of them, but where are we at?
We've done way too much of that already. I apologize for giving all the details of my four teams all year, but I have one really good team. I think I'm in first. I haven't even checked. I think I'm like 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
Doing pretty good. And I have two teams that are fighting for playoff spots, and I'm really, really far down in the last one. So pretty much not doing anything in that league. Although I'm still trying. I'm still picking up people. I'm still setting my lineup. I'm still going through.
Yeah.
Still trying to win.
You play to the end.
I play to the
end. Like a gentleman.
You know, sometimes I even play past the end.
Right.
You know, set your lineup when you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, week 7.
Have you ever done that
when
before?
When you're eliminated? Just yeah, well, you know almost, that they still do matchups.
I know they still do matchups. They don't mean anything, yeah. But I still do them because out of habit.
Yep, I do too, just to like stay engaged and just kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm at this season. I got three teams. I'm 6-6, 6-6, and 8-4 is where I am in my three different leagues.
So you, okay, by our numbers from early in the season, trying to figure out how many wins it takes to get to the playoffs.
7.
You are right on the edge.
Right.
So you really need this one.
I really need this week in two different leagues. Yeah. And then in one where you have a very good team, I have a very good team too, and I'm behind you by a win, but I'm also the points leader in that league.
Well, that's fine. I don't care.
Ah. Great. So, so we know it counts this week, guys. We're going to be looking for advice for ourselves. We're going to be looking at advice for you guys. We're going to be keeping that in mind. This is the big one, week 13. And one last thing, because I know everybody loves this bit. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, or go back to our favorite discussion of annoying ways to lose.
Yes, let's do this.
So in the one, I was texting Dave about this the last couple of days. In our one league that he and I are in with my wife, I'm in two leagues with my wife. So she beat me 2 weeks ago, 160-80 or whatever that was, and just destroyed me in one league. So, okay, I've moved on from that. Now we're in our other league. We're playing each other, both of us trying to get in the playoffs. This week was from week 12. I could have basically salted away my playoff berth for this season. And it's a really close matchup all week. I got a big lead on Thanksgiving. Didn't look like she was going to close it up. Then she closes it up, and we finish 112.5-112.5 in the ESPN.com app. Yep, we had a full-on tie.
So when you first, sent me this message about this, it was a screen capture
of the app, of the ESPN app.
Right, correct. Right. And it had the exact same score.
Right.
But you didn't tell me that you...
Well, what actually happened is I lost.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I had lost when I sent that screen grab to you.
How would you know?
So here's what happened. About 2 hours later, my wife gets a push notification from the ESPN app that says, final score, you defeated your husband 112.52-112.48.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
I lost by 0.04 points.
How is that even possible?
Now, that's the thing that you and I were texting about is I gave you like a riddle me this, riddle me that.
Yeah.
What is worth 0.04 points in fantasy football?
Well, also, they have to be doing this on purpose to solve a tie, because they never do it out to that decimal.
So I you would think that. Here's what I think happened. If you go through scoring, what's 0.04? Okay. Let's think about the way that people score points.
Mm-hmm.
For running back, every 10 yards is a point, right? Every 10 yards, one point. Wide receiver, every 10 yards is a point.
Is it passing yards? It's passing yards.
It's passing yards.
So somebody got 0.1 yards or something?
Got one quarterback passing yard more was the difference between her final score and my final score. That's what 0.04 is. If you divide 1 point by 25, it's 0.04. One quarterback passing yard.
That is crazy. It seems almost impossible. What happens if you tie on that, though?
Then we get a tie.
I don't think I've ever had
a tie. Our league is set to have ties, for what it's worth. But yeah, so of all the annoying ways to lose that we talked about this year and the annoying people to lose to, I think that maybe I actually took the cake this time by losing the slimmest of margins in a way that the app didn't even display that I was going to lose, thinking I had a tie when I did not have a tie.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And also because you can't even tell that you won or lost.
Until she had the push notification that showed up that had the score to the extra decimal.
Yeah, that's bad.
Hey, ESPN, fix your app if you're gonna keep track of scores like that, okay? All right, anyway, so not to belabor the bad beat story too much, but I thought it was pretty funny given the way we've talked about a couple times.
It's our new segment.
Yeah, bad beats. Football's bad beats. So, week 12, week 13.
Week 13.
Week 13. You want to dive in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Quarterbacks. Just like we start every week, we're going to start with quarterbacks. Oh, one thing I just want to mention real quick is that we talked a little bit about Chris coming out with some new models, projection models this week. We made a couple of tiny tweaks this week. We're thinking that he's going to be working more in the future, so we're not going to go deep into the features of what's different between last week and this week at this point. We'll probably save that for a future update, just so everybody
knows. Not super relevant right now. Yeah. We'll get to it later.
We'll cut all that out. But anyway, so quarterbacks. Dave.
Yes.
What do you think about MathBox's quarterback projections this week?
They just overall in the projections, I thought there was a lot of crazy stuff this week.
Okay.
Like they did not, we've been talking about how they kind of look chalk in some certain positions the last couple of weeks. They did not look chalk to me.
No.
Not just quarterback. I mean, wide receiver looked nuts and a bunch of stuff looked nuts.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was actually really surprised that, the first thing is it's had Russell Wilson pegged at the number one spot
for weeks,
pretty much all year.
Yes.
With a couple of minor exceptions, all the way down at 10
this week. Yeah. Some of the people that MathBox is advocating starting over Russell Wilson this week include Ben Roethlisberger, the much maligned Dak Prescott, and a couple other surprises we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes, but let's keep it to Russell Wilson for
minute.
So here's what I have to say. MathBox says this is a hard matchup. There's no way I'm sitting Russell. I'm acting like Russell Wilson is
against Philly
is number 10.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if I have Russell Wilson on my team, I probably don't have another quarterback anyway, and I'm not going to go look for one.
Because he's been so good, you wouldn't need to burn a roster spot on a backup if you play that way. I mean, that's how I play. If I have a good enough quarterback, I don't even bother with it. I use it for something else. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations where it's like you have to look at what if you know you're going to the playoffs or you think you're on the edge, I would probably not gamble on a position like this or a player that's been this consistent.
Right.
MathBox tells him in the top 10, but I probably wouldn't be swapping him out.
Yeah. Even if I had somebody like Roethlisberger on my roster for some reason or whatever, there's no way I would gamble with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not with Wilson. I mean, maybe other players, but not him.
Yep. Exactly. So who else stood out to you? You know, I'll throw out a name who stood out to me in a similar way. Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, how so?
Kirk Cousins at 12 this week in MathBox in a great matchup against the number 26 passing defense, Dallas. Similarly, MathBox has him barely as a start.
Yeah.
He's someone who I've been starting all year. Now, of course, he's not in the same kind of rare air as Russell Wilson, who's been legitimately great.
No, but Kirk Cousins has
just been kind of number six quarterback, I think, in scoring so far this year.
Good, solid starter a lot of the time, so...
Yeah.
It's a little surprising to see him that low.
I have a tough time sitting him as well. I think that he's definitely, for me, a top six quarterback. I also think that one thing that's very interesting, though, is that MathBox's next 4 weeks projection on Cousins is actually pretty low.
Okay.
I think he's towards the, like, 15 mm-hmm. overall in scoring projected over the next 4 weeks, which does make me a little nervous about his playoff matchups, which means that if I had a team where I had Cousins and nobody else, I might be looking to grab somebody to try to patch it together if I needed to. Now, benching a guy that you have really liked all year in the playoffs,
it's quarterback,
tough. Is tough, but sometimes you got to do it. Cousins is certainly a player where I would do that if the matchup looked worse enough. Wilson is not. However, this week, the matchup looks good. I'm probably still going to start him.
Well, expert consensus ranks has him at five.
Five.
So,
yeah.
That's probably a little more, a little closer to what I would think.
Yeah, exactly. So, what else you got?
So, I was actually looking at, I just wanted to point out Case Keenum again, mm-hmm. another good game. He put up 27 points in most scoring formats. Looked good again. It's just, he's good. He's a top 10 quarterback. You know,
top 10?
I mean, he's starting. He's startable.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's put up in the mid 20s for the last 3 weeks.
I would have a tough time getting him into my top 10, man.
I think he's one of those guys, like we said, like if you don't have a stud quarterback that's been doing it all year.
Yep.
And you need somebody.
Yep.
I think he's actually kind of safe.
Yep.
Because he's been consistent. He's going to be at Atlanta.
Yep.
Who's not great. 18th against quarterbacks. He actually has okay, real average against Carolina. Week 14, they're about 10th, and the rest of the defenses are, you know, okay. Cincinnati, Green Bay, Chicago, they're 12, 15,
right.
11.
Right.
So not great matchups, but at least next week he should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's your, if you are the person who's been streaming all year and you have him, you're happy to have him and it's good to keep starting him.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But again, this is not somebody who I'm shoving it, who I'm like pushing in there to try to get.
No. Yeah. I'm not taking out a good quarterback
right.
to get him in.
Right.
He would be one that I would be the most comfortable starting.
But if
I had to start a guy that I wouldn't expect.
Like, for example, I have a team that I've talked about a couple times on here where I was like, I drafted Roethlisberger, then I went to Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went back to Roethlisberger, and maybe now I'm kind of like, if I had Keenum on my roster as well, I'd probably feel more comfortable starting him than Roethlisberger, even though MathBox has Roethlisberger a bit higher.
Yeah, but again, Roethlisberger's been pretty good.
He's been good the last couple weeks too.
So
yeah, totally true. Okay, I like Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum is still somebody who's like, people just need to be reminded that he is producing points.
One of the things I've been noticing. Mm-hmm. Especially this week is like, there's been a lot of guys that have popped out in the last couple of weeks that have been kind of the hot hand. And I feel like if you need a guy at a position, there's a couple of choices that you might not have expected.
Right.
And this is one of the quarterbacks.
This is one of those.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
And there's also been a lot of guys that have taken nosedives the last couple of weeks, and they aren't just tight ends.
Yep.
So
yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think another person we could look at in that same bucket is Jared Goff. Of course, we talked about him all year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great matchup this week against Arizona, who's the 31st against quarterbacks. MathBox has him currently at number 11 in quarterbacks, so he's definitely a start. But he's somebody who you might be kind of thinking about whether you need to start or whether you need to look for an upgrade. They're going to the playoffs, and I don't think you do necessarily right now. They have him project. We have him projected at 11th. He's projected sort of right around the low teens for the rest of the season as well. So I think he's going to be right there on that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, some people probably got Eli Manning as their streamer, and
yeah, look what
he's
happened.
He's just
there.
Gone. So you might need a couple people might need a replacement there. I cannot believe that Eli Manning got benched for Geno Smith.
Well, okay, so yes. And that whole team has fallen apart.
I mean,
you could see it all year. It was like a train wreck, you know, in motion the whole time. I read some stuff that was talking about how, okay, Geno Smith is supposed to be the starter next week. Speculation that they're really just trying to get to their rookie.
Yeah.
So just to see what he's got. But, I mean, they're not going to, how are they going to be good? No, they're not going to be good. Geno Smith is not a good quarterback.
Right.
He's not going to be better than Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Pretty sure about that.
Which one do you think is more shocking? Tyrod Taylor getting benched for Nathan Peterman or
Eli Peterman.
Yeah. Or Eli getting benched for Geno Smith in 2017.
Eli, for
I
sure.
I think it's
for
definitely sure. Eli. Because as much as I like, I mean, Tyrod's been good, and as much as I like Tyrod Taylor, and clear would be much happier starting Tyrod in fantasy than Eli, of course, but just the idea of benching someone who has been an MVP.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl. Yeah. And all. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is, I mean, we're talking real football here. I'm not even talking about fantasy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Eli Manning is a way better real football quarterback than Tyrod Taylor is, I think.
I don't know about that.
At least historically.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got tons, whatever. He's Probably, got tons yeah. of ups and downs.
Right.
He can be great, whereas like Tyrod Taylor has never really proven to be great.
Tyrod, and a lot of people think he's actually secretly terrible with good stats. So
that's yes. Yeah.
But geez, bye Eli, I guess.
He might be back.
He almost certainly will be back, I think.
Yeah. We're getting into a Nathan Peterman thing here.
Peterson-man.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to do it. Geno Smith's been around long enough that I don't think we need to make him into your math teacher or
something.
No,
I'm just
like
saying
that.
Like he's going to be like,
oh, same situation.
He's going to be so bad. He could be so bad that they'll just put Eli back in.
Same game. Yeah, like he's going to show out the first half. I think it won't be. Yeah, my feeling, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I feel like it probably won't be 50 interceptions like with Peterson-man. It'll be like he gets sacked like 8 times and doesn't even get the ball out. And then they're like, forget it.
Well, okay. So the skill players for the Giants, not that you could trust them anyway, but like you just can't play any of them.
Yeah. I mean, Sterling Shepard was certainly somebody who's on the bubble. I want to double check. We'll talk about him again in the wide receiver area because I want to double check his injury status this week. But he was probably the only one. And I guess
Evan Ingram, but he hasn't done anything in weeks either. So you shouldn't be starting him anyway.
Yeah, probably not. So we'll get back to those guys in a bit, but boy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Rough.
Bye, Eli.
Sorry, Eli.
Okay, let's talk about the big surprises.
Yeah.
In Mathbox's top 10.
Who you got?
Blake Bortles at number 3 and Tyrod Taylor at number 6.
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor. I'm not that concerned about that one, but Blake Bortles at 3. Look, his matchup is really good against Indy, and he has been putting up some numbers, but like real football analysis, he is not playing well.
No.
Like he had 160 passing yards last week.
Yeah.
The only reason he put up any, I think he had like 22 points or something, the only reason why he had a good week is because he had 2 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
So, no. I don't see it.
Yeah, I never thought I would live to see the day where the rankings went Brady, Wentz, Bortles, Newton.
Yeah, no, it's surprising, and I think Mathbox has had Bortles' number
a couple times.
Like appropriately ranked, had him low. This week, I don't know why it's so high.
Yeah, I bet it's somewhat influenced by the 2 rushing touchdowns last week. I will say, if you look at Taylor and Bortles over the next 4 weeks projected, they go up in rankings.
Do they?
Yes. Bortles is quarterback number 2 over the next 4 weeks, and Tyrod is quarterback number 5 over the next 4 weeks. Once again, stay away from thinking that these guys are anything other than streaming options if you are a streaming player, if you are a quarterback streaming player. I don't think that these are legit people that you should be thinking about starting over. Somebody who's been good all year, such as Kirk Cousins, would probably be the person where I can imagine people looking at
if
that.
If Kirk Cousins was 3, I would maybe buy that.
Right. Yeah, this is just like a little too rich for me.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you look just below these guys on the rankings, we have Dak Prescott at number 7. That also seems too high.
Yeah, I don't like that. Dallas is just not functioning
right
now.
And it's not a great matchup.
And it can't all be because of Zeke being suspended either.
No,
I mean,
Zeke
is very important, obviously, but it's not like Alfred Morris can't play football. You know, I mean, the rest of the team is still there.
Right.
It's the same guys. They can't be this bad without one player.
They just don't have it together right now. Mathbox does not like Dak the rest of the year, though. Has him down at 15. So I think that this might be either a correction in the offing, or maybe it sees something in the Washington matchup that it really likes.
Yeah.
But, you know, prepare to see Dak Prescott also fall out of the top 10 for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what else did you have on your...
I just had a couple of quick notes on guys that Mathbox is down on. Guys that haven't been performing well, and Mathbox is even lower than expert consensus ranks. Mm-hmm. Stafford, Carr, and Dalton.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 23, I do have those guys.
25, yep. And 29 for Dalton. They're lower, pretty much all lower than ECR. Stafford is 16 in ECR, and we got him at 23.
So let's talk about these guys individually. Let's start with Stafford.
All right.
Stafford's somebody I would put towards the top 12, or would you say ECR was 16?
Yeah.
I would be fine starting. I would feel much better starting Stafford than I would starting Bortles or Tyrod for that matter.
Yeah, Stafford has been decent the last five games. I've been starting him. He's been okay.
Is he 17 points? Or
yeah,
what is he?
He's been okay. So since week 8 against Pittsburgh, he's had 18 points, 22.4, 21.7, 18, 14.
Fine.
He's fine.
Yeah. No way he should be this low.
Yeah, but he is going
up
against Baltimore.
It does hate the matchup against Baltimore, and he's also indicated as questionable. So he might be, I don't think he's actually not going to play, but he's going to be, you know, who knows? Maybe he's got a little something going on there, but I don't think he deserves to be in the mid-20s.
No.
I definitely don't think he deserves to be next to Blaine Gabbert, Brett Hundley, and my new favorite whipping boy kind of...
Derek Carr?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Trevor Siemian.
No, Derek Carr. Boy, I actually feel like, I mean, Derek Carr is number 25 against the Giants, according to Mathbox this week.
That's awful.
Carr's been terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And, okay, fine. I'm fine with not starting him. If I have him, I'm running the other way.
I buy that.
Yep. So I'm okay. So I hate the Stafford ranking. I think Stafford should be higher. I'm totally fine with Carr being 25 and not being startable, essentially. Right. I feel the same way about Dalton.
Yeah.
Dalton at the end of the 20s.
Well, also because it's Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh, that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh rivalry is always bad.
Yeah.
Like, they kill each other.
I mean, so Dalton's not even going to be on our tip sheet this week.
No.
With a number 29 ranking. We only put out the top 25.
Yeah.
So...
You know who didn't look terrible last week?
Who's that?
Brett Hundley.
Yes.
Or Brent?
No, it's
Hund. I know Brett, it's
now.
Brett.
This is the first time when we've been talking about him that I've been actually looking at his name in print.
Yeah,
so.
I feel like I've had it wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
I think I've said Brent like 47 times.
Do you ever know somebody like that? Like, you have a friend of a friend who you've seen out a bunch of times, and when you're about to go see him, like, the third time, you're always like, oh, is it Brett or is it Brent?
Yeah. Oh, I do
is
that
it
all
Brett
the time.
Is
I'm
it
so
Brent?
Bad with names.
I had this friend, super short story. I met these two guys at the same time. We were friends of friends. One was named Phil and one's name was Jerry. Okay?
Okay.
And I had their names transposed for like 3 years, including... What? I started working with one of them for a long time. He got a job at the place that I worked at. I still occasionally called him the wrong name. I've known the guy for like a decade now, and occasionally I still call him the wrong name.
That's terrible.
Which is insane.
That is so I don't see you doing that.
I'm very good with names usually, but sometimes you
I've
just
never
like,
known you to do that.
Get
That's
us
something
like short
that,
circuit.
That I would do.
Total short circuit with Brett versus Brent.
I feel like if he's going to be a country singer, he sounds more country if he's Brent.
Yeah, that's Hundley. True.
Because every time I think of Brett, I think of Brett Michaels. It's like a hair metal thing all of a sudden.
Right. I like it. Okay. So I still don't like Hundley as a spot start, though. I would definitely be looking somewhere else
if I could. Agreed.
Anybody else you want to talk about before we get out of quarterbacks?
No.
I think we covered most of the notes I had.
That's it.
Great. So what we're saying about quarterback in general is we think Mathbox has a couple people overrated. We'll run that commentary on the website, especially when it comes to Bortles and Taylor, and it's pretty rosy on their projections the rest of the year. If you feel like you believe it, if you want to look at projections.fantasyoutliers.com and take a look at the stats that went into that, you want to roll with it, please do. Dave and I are skeptical, but I think that if you are someone going to the playoffs and need some upside, Mathbox is giving you a couple of directions to take a look for unexpected value is what I would say.
Yeah, that said... Sometimes it sees things that Caution. Nobody else sees.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's right on this stuff that we all think is crazy. So
yeah, exactly. So let's talk about running backs.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dave, where do you want to start?
I want to start about Joe Mixon, talking about Joe Mixon, because he finally had his big breakout game.
Okay.
Been waiting for it all year.
And you watched the whole game, right?
I watched the whole game, and you know, he has looked good, I think, all year. Every time I've seen him, I've watched every game, but I thought he always looked good. He looked great again. And the difference here, I think, was that Cleveland, actually supposed to be a pretty good run defense, looked... There were just big holes everywhere. Okay. Every time Mixon touched the ball, he was getting 5 yards, 8 yards, powering through guys, big holes, you know, chunk yards. The whole game, they just couldn't stop him. So yeah. I don't know if it was just Cleveland just not being able to, just forgetting how to play defense.
They were just respecting Andy Dalton.
Yeah, they were respecting Andy Dalton. I'm pretty sure that's not what it was. But yeah, he had great. He was great. He had 25 points. The only problem with him, I think, is that he's kind of got some tough matchups coming up. If you look at his schedule, he's playing Pittsburgh next week, Chicago the week after that, Minnesota. Well, Detroit is in there. Then he's got the Ravens the last week.
So he's projected at right now for this week, he's projected running back 13 in PPR for MathBox.
Yeah, 14 in ECR.
Right.
So we're right there.
We're pretty much there. I think that if you look at his subsequent weeks kind of total projected points, mm-hmm. it looks like he's going to trend down
yeah.
from there. But I think that's still, you know, you should feel reasonably happy if you have had Mixon hang around all week and all year, sorry, and he's a running back two option for you for sure.
Yeah, he's kind of been a flex for me
for a long time.
A lot of the year. Yeah, just waiting for that breakout game. I don't think I'm going to change my opinion on him. He's still startable. But I'm not going to get too excited. I'm not expecting him.
He's a flex. You're excited to start to put on your roster though now, right?
I feel like he has some upside. I just don't. But I felt like that all year, and so I kind of feel like this is a blip.
Okay.
I feel like this is like Cleveland forgot to play defense last week, and it might just go back to him scoring.
I mean, he doesn't have
11 points again.
Yeah, he doesn't have a great matchup this week either. No. It's true.
So,
first person on my list that I want to talk about with it's a little bit of controversy. We have Melly Gordon at number 6 in our projections in PPR this week, mm-hmm. and we have Austin Eckler at number 10 in our PPR projections this week.
Yeah, what is going on with that?
Let's talk about Gordon. I don't think we need to talk about. They are playing the same Cleveland defense that Cincinnati played last week. That Clay, when we were talking about this today over Slack, said Cleveland was torched by one of the worst run defenses in Cincinnati. So maybe that's a trend that's going to continue this week. I think that Eckler is just getting really interesting. He's getting a lot of passing opportunities.
Yeah.
So in PPR, he's definitely, you know, starting to get the ball. He's had 26, 13, and 10 in the last three. So it's kind of like he had a huge game and then two very medium games.
Are you buying this then?
I'm not buying it. I'm buying him in the same bucket as Mixon, kind of. Like, we haven't projected as a RB1, and that just scares me like crazy.
He's not an RB1.
That's true at all. I think he's like running back 25. The reason that I want to talk about him is because when we published the waiver wire article last night, he was widely available. He was available in about 65% of leagues.
Okay.
So he's someone who you might be able to start add to your team and start as a flex if you're feeling kind of out of it this week or you need a little bolster to your roster.
Yeah. So I saw the same thing and I looked into it. And if you look at Eckler's points per opportunity, it is super high.
Yeah, I agree.
1.02, which is like the highest.
It's the highest we have in the projections right now.
Yeah, I think Le'Veon Bell is like 0.94
right.
or something. So it's super high. His opportunities are projected at 15. So what he did in week 12, 6 rushes for 15 yards, 3 passes or 3 caught passes for 55 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's not getting anywhere near 15 opportunities from, or at least in the last game. Maybe historically he was.
Right.
It seems to me like he's more complimentary.
Yep.
Then really, it's not doing the running back tandem thing, I don't think, just quite yet.
Right. That's why I definitely hear what you're saying. I think that that puts him, the fact that he's getting so many balls kind of targeted, like he's getting enough to get basically 8 points just in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that, for me, puts him as somebody that, like I said, he's in flex consideration for me, not even close to running back one.
Yeah, I buy that. I think he's a flex guy.
Yeah. But again, spot start flex guy if you need it.
Yeah.
Flip side of that, don't worry about Melvin Gordon. I would just keep rolling him out there, but that's just me. Let's talk about San Francisco for a minute. So we didn't talk about the fact that CJ Beathard got hurt last week, and that Jimmy Garoppolo is coming off the bench. Basically, he had that touchdown at the end of the game last week that made everybody super excited. Talking about Jimmy G still. So in the context of Carlos Hyde, we have Hyde projected at fourth this week. I don't know if changing quarterbacks on a team like San Francisco really makes me feel like the arrow is pointing up or down on Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still going to be good. What do you think?
You know, I'm not totally sure, actually. I mean, you have those two narratives again.
Right.
You have the, they're unsure about the quarterback, they might just run a ton, and then they have the narrative that says, well, if they're unsure about the quarterback, the other team knows that,
right,
so they're just going to stack the box and make sure they can't run.
Right.
And wait for the quarterback to make a mistake when he tries to beat them.
Right.
So, you know,
it is against our hometown Chicago Bears,
who have been good on
run defense, but also had some trouble last week.
They're not. Yeah, but it was Jacksonville.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
No, it was the Eagles. Sorry.
It was the Eagles. Yeah. Well, they got slammed by the Eagles.
You expect them to get crushed by the Eagles.
Yeah.
An offense that good is going to beat a decent defense pretty badly.
Right. So, I don't know. I buy Hyde as a top 10 running back. That's kind of where my mind is. He's still a running back one. I've got no problem starting him.
Yeah,
I just wanted to bring it up to say, like, I don't think Garoppolo being in there really makes me change my opinion that much, because we already knew Beathard was not that good.
Yeah. That's also true.
Right. Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
Green Bay. We love talking about the upheaval in the Green Bay offensive situation pretty much every week. This week, MathBox has Jamal Williams at number 7.
He's way high.
He's number 7 this week and number 12 the rest of the way in scoring through the rest of the season.
But you know what's crazy? ECR is 13.
13 on him this week?
On this week,
yeah.
So it's not insane. Like, the humans kind of agree.
Yeah.
To some, I mean, on the edge of running back one,
yep,
solid
RB2.
And we have
a solid running back one. I think that it's interesting to see this kind of come out this way. He did have, I think he had season highs in carries last week. A little worried about Ty Montgomery reemerging on the scene, although they play totally different games. You know, like Ty Montgomery, you know, he's really a wide receiver. He's going to be there for that kind of change of pace kind of stuff. But if that takes away from the opportunities that that Jamal Williams is having, that's going to be a big problem for his projected score, because his points per opportunity is actually kind of low, and most of the projection is built off of a very high number of opportunities.
But I thought he looked pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
And also, just Green Bay in general has looked better in recent weeks.
Yeah. Well, Huntley's kind of figured out a game plan that's working for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it took him a little bit to figure it out.
Davante Adams is back on the map.
Yeah, like, he's solidly usable again. We'll get to that later. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I buy him quite this high. I don't know. I like it. Like, he's definitely a guy you're playing.
Right.
If you had him. And the crazy thing is, he's only like 65% owned.
Wow, he's still available yesterday. In a third of leagues.
So you might be able to get a solid starting running back in week 13 that's going to get most everything, assuming Montgomery isn't, you know.
Definitely worth checking. I will say that numbers like that at this point in the year generally indicate that there's a lot of attrition in active fantasy players as the year goes on.
So use it to your advantage.
Well, I mean, but there are whole like dead leagues out there where people are having fun at the beginning of the year and then they all lose interest. So don't be surprised, even in spite of the number that Dave just said, don't be surprised if he's not available in your league, but it's worth checking to see if there's been an oversight by everybody else.
That's a good point.
Kamara and Ingram, RIP, both of them being top 10s. They are not top 10s this week. We sadly have Alvin Kamara at 9 and Ingram at 12.
That's fine. It's irrelevant because you're starting both of them. Yeah, even though it's awesome. Against Carolina, doesn't matter.
I just like to talk about them because they're great.
Agreed.
Who do you have on your list that you want to take a look at next?
I wanted to make note. Adrian Peterson, you still can't start him. I don't think.
Yeah. He has a very good matchup this week, but I still don't really like him.
Yeah. I mean, he did okay last week, but I don't think you can do it.
His points per opportunity, by the way, in MathBox projections are the lowest that I can see on the projection screen right now that Dave and I have up in front of us. It's 0.64 points per opportunity. The next lowest one is 0.68. And there's only four people in the top 30, it looks like, that have points per opportunity below 0.7. So not great for Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I feel like we're kind of beating a dead horse there with that one.
You want to talk about Christian McCaffrey for a second?
Sure.
So McCaffrey, I think, is interesting. So I was surprised to see McCaffrey in the mid to late teens in PPR, but it turns out that's pretty much exactly in line with what his scoring has been this season. So MathBox is basically just saying he's going to be what he has been so far. I think that's fair. I think it just bears repeating, like, hey, low end running back two for McCaffrey.
That's fair, but only PPR, right?
Only PPR, yeah. And right next to him is Samaje Perine, who was somebody that we advocated picking up last week. I think that if you manage to get a running back two off the waiver wire last week, you got to feel pretty good going in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, originally when he first got this job, I kind of dogged him.
Yeah.
And no one else really believed about him, but he's been really good. So, at least, you know, he's 78% owned.
Yeah,
and
that's up from 30 last week, basically.
Yeah, because no one bought it the first week, and then he blew up, and then everyone picked him up. And so, actually, you know, 78%, he should be near 100, I would think.
Yeah.
And so that's probably some of that is that attrition you were talking about.
Dead leagues.
Yeah, and he's going against he's going against Dallas next week, which is not very good.
Against the run.
So,
yep.
He's an easy start.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it worked out this well for him so far. It's only been a couple of games, but still.
Is there any...
You got to roll with it. You got to roll with the hot hand.
Yeah, exactly. You play to win the game. Roll with the hot hand. Is there anybody in this top 20 that you feel like you would avoid starting? The name that I go to right away, and I don't have a ton on why here, is Matt Forte. Feels like he's a little bit high. To me, I would probably be like, if he was my running back two, I would be a little worried about it.
What do we have him at?
He is at, looks like 17, 15.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be a hair high.
Yeah.
Especially against, KC.
KC.
But, I don't know. I hope you have better options than Forte. If you're going to the playoffs, you probably have someone else that can take that spot because he's been in and out all year.
Yeah.
So hopefully you have someone better.
Yeah, but for my part, like if I was looking at flexes and I had Forte and like McKinnon.
You think you'd start him?
No, if I had Forte and McKinnon in my flex spot, I would probably be looking pretty hard at McKinnon.
Yeah, I probably would be too.
Even though McKinnon has been just kind of like very up and down too.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. I mean, he's gotten some opportunities, but he hasn't been that explosive player that you kind of expected him to be, that MathBox predicted it would be. I mean, Murray is getting a lot more of the fantasy points.
And let's talk about that for 1 second. So Murray is at number 37 in MathBox this week, which I think is like very undervalued.
Yeah, way too low.
I mean, great points out of him the last couple weeks.
He's been really low for MathBox pretty much all year, and McKinnon has always been higher. I think they're both useful to some degree. Murray has been much more useful than McKinnon, at least the last couple of weeks. I imagine that to continue. I don't see why it wouldn't. It's not like they have terrible matchups or anything. So I think you got to roll Murray out there definitely and potentially McKinnon, but
maybe Murray. I kind of like Murray over McKinnon at this point.
No, that's what I'm saying. McKinnon for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. One guy I'm not afraid of, one bad performance. We got Jordan Howard at 14. He did zero this week against the Eagles.
Right.
They just got down. They were down the whole game. They abandoned the run. There's nothing. I mean, he did. I think he had like 26 yards or something awful like that.
Brutal.
He had, Yeah, so...
But Eagles look insane, huh?
Yeah, they do look insane. But next week, Jordan Howard is against San Francisco, who is the worst defense against the run. So you are fine. Just rolling back out there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Speaking of the Eagles, I just want to dip my toe into for a second.
He had 7 rushes for 6 yards.
Oof. That is so brutal. Jordan Howard, better days will come to you this week. Let's talk about the Eagles for a second with the running game. You care to take a guess at where we have Jay Ajayi ranked this week?
Probably pretty low.
How low can we go?
35.
We have MathBox has Ajayi at 43 this week. This is someone, again, who we had as a top 10, top 15 option like 2 weeks ago in the projections.
Yeah, and when he got...
Three weeks ago when he got traded, basically.
When he got traded, everyone thought he was going to take over that job, and it's just been... I mean, I don't know what you do with that.
I mean, apparently, MathBox is saying you don't start a Philadelphia... you don't start a Philadelphia running back.
No.
Because we don't even have... LeGarrette Blount in our top 50. We have Corey Clement right at the end of the top 50.
Yeah, I mean, they're all just washing each other out.
Yeah, which is too bad. I mean, this is one of those things where, like, you sort of don't expect that to happen. I mean, it's a little bit of the Patriots game, I guess, where, like, they have a great passing, you know, they have a great offense, a great passing offense, they have a quarterback that's putting up massive points, but the run game is just, like, fully specialists.
It's just,
and now MathBox
it's
is
too
just
spread
taking
out
it out on him. Yeah. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, the Patriots that are kind of, you know, infamous for that same thing, we have Rex Burkhead as a solid start this week, basically down here, a solid start at flex,
yeah,
basically.
Solid flex. I mean, that was actually one of the names on my list.
Yeah.
I mean, we covered this a little bit before, but it looked like you might be able to start two of the three of those running backs. Burkhead blew up. Well, blew up meaning 19 points, but still, like,
we got Burkhead 25. We got Deion Lewis at 28. I don't know, man. I still,
it's just, we should have known better.
I just don't want to start these guys. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't want to get into this game again with the Patriots running backs. I've done this year over year.
It's too risky when the playoffs,
it never works out.
Your playoff berth is on the line, and it's too risky in the playoffs you know, one single elimination, basically. So I would pass on those, even though we have Burkhead as a solid start.
Yeah, well, ECR is even higher on him at 18.
Oh, they have him at 18?
Yeah, so...
Wow.
I don't want to do it. It's just too risky.
Now, the flip side, in PPR anyway, I'm still okay with starting somebody who's 2 slots lower than Burkhead in Duke Johnson in my flex.
We back on that train?
Duke Johnson, I've started a number of times this year, ultimately, after I kind of said, you know, week 6 or whatever, that I was feeling pretty green about it. But, you know, I've put him in a bunch of times. He's gotten me like 13, 14 points, and it's been fine as a flex when I had to do it. Good matchup this week against the Chargers. So it's totally possible that, like, he could do even more. Crowell's also been putting up points, though. I think that he's probably in the same bucket where I really wouldn't want any of these guys as more than a flex option.
Yeah, I'd buy that. I mean, only in PPR, though, for Duke Johnson.
Yeah, he's probably... Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think I would double-check the rankings on MathBox to see. I could look at it really
quick. I haven't looked
at
his rankings in a while.
Yeah, we mostly
for
talk about...
Because I pretty much always look at PPR.
Well, we also pretty much only talk about PPR here. Duke Johnson in standard is projected to be number 43, so you don't want any piece of that.
No.
Unless you're super desperate for some reason, which happens sometimes this time of year, but 43 is pretty bad.
So the last guy I had on my list, which is Kenyon Drake.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. Only because there's literally no one left in Miami to run the ball.
Yeah.
They got Damian Williams got hurt. He's probably going to be out. They lost their third string guy. They only had Kenyon Drake left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I think last week. So he's going to get a ton of work, even if they sign somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rough matchup against Denver, supposedly, anyway.
You don't like that, but still, I mean, he's going to get almost everything.
Yeah.
So if you're desperate, I mean, it's not a good team, but.
We have him at number...
He's also only 63% owned, so...
Yeah, so he's a possible plug-in.
Yeah, you might actually be able to get him.
I mean, hey, I started... You know, a couple weeks ago, I had to start Kenyon Drake and Latavius Murray as my running back one and two because I have Freeman and nobody else in a certain league.
Well,
and
Murray was probably all right.
Murray was right, and Kenyon Drake was fine too. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I like him as a flex option, especially if you're hurting and desperate and looking down around number 40. So I have two more situations that I think we need to talk about pretty quickly. Small little one. Orleans Darkwa has been kind of rising up people's boards. Boy, with Eli Manning gone.
No, I don't think you can do anything with that.
With the Giants?
I would just avoid all, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, what's going to happen is they are going to get just destroyed. Ah, boy. Just destroyed. Then I
don't care.
Double-checked the matchup. It's Oakland.
I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't
either.
Care who it is.
Yeah.
It could be a college team. It's not going to work out.
Yeah, a Crabtree-less Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
After getting suspended.
Yeah. You saw that fight, right?
I did not see that fight.
Oh, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious?
It was hilarious. It was this huge brawl. And Crabtree like walked away and then like started swinging at him again. Like it was, oh my gosh. It was like the worst fight I've seen in a long
brutal.
Time. Which is hilarious, because why would you fight in football? The game is a fight. You get to hit people.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like why would you throw a punch at someone who's wearing a helmet? It's the stupidest thing.
Totally anyway. Agree. I don't know what that was all about. So last person I'm going to talk about in running backs is Devonta Freeman, who was out last week with a concussion and all that kind of stuff. As of the recording of this podcast and when we did our rankings, he is not on the injury report anywhere, which makes me believe he's going to play on Sunday.
Let's assume that he'll play.
So MathBox has him ranked 35th right now. It is against Minnesota, who's the toughest on the run. But I have a team where I had Freeman, and I need to win this week to make him the playoffs, and I'm kind of like...
If he's starting, you think you're going to put him in?
I don't know. What do you think? Like, he's still projected to have a pretty high points per opportunity. He's just projected to have kind of a low number of opportunities this week. And I feel like if MathBox is projecting it that way, I'm probably going to have to... go with my gut that he gets more than 14 opportunities.
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, usually I don't like starting guys that the first game back from an injury, because they tend to be kind of soft, or they tend to maybe get re-injured, or they just don't give them a full workload or whatever. They ease them back in. So
yeah, but what about never sit your studs?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you got... Okay, this situation just does not add up, right? So you've got... a formerly good, very good running back on a, let's call it a decent team against the worst defense, the hardest defense.
Matchup.
Yeah, worst matchup you could possibly have the last week of the fantasy season.
I kind of feel like I'm going down with the ship, though. If I'm the owner here, it's like, ever since I am the owner here, like, I don't know. What if I sit him and he puts up 30 points and I lose? Like, I'm just going to feel like an idiot for benching my first round draft pick.
Right. But who else do you have?
Kenyon Drake and Latavius Murray
something
like that.
Yeah, that's that league. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You just mentioned that. All right.
Yeah.
Man. I don't... You're right. That's tough.
Yeah.
So anyway,
people hate when we talk about our teams. But listen, we have Devonta Freeman very low this week, and I don't buy it. If he plays, if the injury report looks fine, I don't think he only gets 14 opportunities this game, even in a bad matchup.
Yeah, I mean, he was averaging 11, 12 at least before he went out. So, and he was even higher towards the beginning of the year. He was around 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's probably got 15 in him.
I'm
no
hoping
problem.
It's more like 18.
Yeah. But well, you looking at this
the stats.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be lucky to get 18, because he's been higher than that three times.
Okay.
So maybe you shouldn't start him.
All right. That's it for running backs, guys.
You are going down the ship. Let's talk about some wide receivers.
All right, we're halfway through the last podcast of regular season.
Cracking a beer.
Celebration. All right, let's talk wide receivers. So,
top of the list.
You said that you felt like there was some pretty wild stuff on the wide receivers this week. So I'm just going to let you go at it for a couple minutes here.
I feel okay. So wide receiver list looks a little wacky to me. Antonio Brown at number one. That's not a surprise. Adam Thielen, number two. Never seen that before. Hopkins, three, fine. Julio Jones, four, fine. Keelan Allen, all the way up to five. I think we had him at like in the 30s or 34 a couple of weeks ago before he started blowing up. And I was saying, look, he hasn't done it all year, basically. He had one good game. I feel like it's point chasing. Now he's had two great games,
right.
Two ridiculous games. So at this point, even I have to say, yes, you have to buy this.
You're going to have me. All right, let's stop with Keenan.
The Chargers are playing way better.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's stop at Keenan Allen for a second.
All right.
I think Keenan Allen is a top 25 wide receiver and has been the whole season, and that's just that. He had some bad games. He had some great games. When it all comes down to it, I think that that's where everybody should feel comfortable starting him. He is a mid-level wide receiver too. We have him very high this week, but I think that that's who he is.
Yeah, but he was performing below that almost the entire year.
Yeah,
up until very recently.
He's still Keenan Allen, though.
He is still Keenan Allen, and that is the thing. That is the tough part about this, because you can have that name recognition,
yeah,
and say, oh, he's Keenan Allen, he's got to be good. Well, if he's not, for whatever reason, whether it's his fault or, you know, maybe he's injured, maybe the team is playing bad, who knows what's going on? It could be any reason.
Yeah.
If he's not putting up the numbers, he's not the Keenan Allen that you know. And that's one of the hardest parts, I think, about playing fantasy is giving up on name value when it's not name value.
Like Devonta Freeman and what we were just talking about a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard psychologically to do. And yes, Keenan Allen should be started in every week on your team.
Right.
In one slot or another.
Right.
So you're starting him. MathBox loves him.
Right. Adam Thielen, stud, top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have him at two, but he's been great, so I'm not going to argue with it.
Yep, exactly. I am going to argue with the fact that somehow we have Juju Smith-Schuster in the top 10 this week, and we also have Chris Hogan in the top 12 this week. I am not rushing to get either one of those guys in my lineup, so I would be taking a long look at what's going on there before pulling the trigger on that, especially since Pittsburgh is against Cincinnati, which is a bad matchup.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think Juju, that's a great name. Juju is a name that, you know, we're not used to seeing. Like he's a new guy in fantasy. Basically, if you go back and look at his numbers, he's basically had two great weeks. And then,
what weeks were those?
That was week 8 against Detroit. He had 32 points, 7 for 193 and a touchdown.
It's pretty great.
He had 12 points before that. And then week 10 against Indy, he had 20.7, 5 for 97 and a touchdown.
Right.
And he's kind of been bouncing a little. He was out last week. He's a hamstring problem. He'll probably play this week, but I'm not totally sure.
I think he's still questionable on the report, honestly.
Yeah, he is questionable, but you know, I don't think I'd have him that high, but I think he'll be okay. You know, I think he's more of a flex guy.
Okay. Flex wide receiver. So you want him in PPR in your flex slot, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'll get a decent number of targets. I mean, Cincinnati will probably try. I mean, I'm predicting game flow here and what the defense is going to do, which is always usually a bad idea.
Yeah, sketchy.
Yeah, getting sketchy here. I mean, this is solidly outside MathBox, but they're going to try to lock down all the other players, you know, Bell and
Brown.
Brown. I'm an idiot. And Juju might be able to get loose.
Right.
That's just my guess.
We'll see.
We will see.
We'll see. Not, doesn't seem like the likeliest of outcomes, but it does seem like a possible outcome.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's a flex guy.
I'm kind of stretching here.
Right. So the other person I talked about a second ago is Chris Hogan, coming off of a long string of injuries. Potentially, he is still questionable. He did not report at the beginning of practice today. I think he maybe got there later on.
Mm-hmm.
We have him at 12. right now, I think. I think this is a little bit of optimism. We have him at 10, actually. This is a little bit of optimism coming from Mathbox as far as what Chris Hogan was for a couple of games at the beginning of the season. When I said he's definitely going to be a top 15 the rest of the way, and then he literally never had a game within the top top 15 of scoring after that.
Patriots.
Now, he's been injured a lot.
Yeah, sure.
So it didn't have as much to do with, maybe didn't have as much to do with that as, or had more to do with that than anything else. But there is no way that I'm taking a guy who just came off of injury. Chris Hogan doesn't have the resume that someone like Devonta Freeman, who I was advocating for a minute ago, has, where I would even consider it unless I was really desperate at flex.
Yeah. I would much, much rather start Jarvis Landry, actually.
For sure.
For sure, in PPR. That guy has been so solid this year. Despite all the problems in Miami, he's just getting it done. It doesn't matter. Matchup doesn't seem to matter. Quarterback situation doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't matter if they're winning or losing or whatever.
Right.
He has just been rock solid in PPR, like averaging about 15 points almost every game.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, he just...
A 15-point projection, by the way, is mid-teens for us.
Yeah.
It's 17, 18, 19, which is okay.
Yeah.
How about Devonta Adams at number 9?
I actually kind of buy that one,
me too.
Yep. He's been really good once our country singer, Brett Hundley, started playing better. He's, you know, Devonta Adams is, I'm not going to say exploded, but he's gotten a lot of the work.
Well, he's gotten 20 points in each of the last three games.
And it seems like anything that would have gone to Nelson has gone to him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because he's just a
different game plan.
A different game plan, but yeah. He has been all over the field too. So it's not like he's just catching short passes or doing some kind of conservative route running. Like he's been doing more than that. And,
right.
And Brett has been hitting him.
Has been hitting him. He's also playing against Tampa Bay, who is the worst defense against,
literally the worst.
Yeah, it's number 32 against wide receiver scoring, which means that it is a bright green in our spreadsheet, and that you should definitely be looking to go wherever there's bright green.
I also kind of think, along with that, Randall Cobb is not done that bad. He had about 16 points in PPR last week, 4 for 51 and a touchdown. And he's under 60% owned.
That's a deep cut here because we have him at 29. We don't have him that low.
This is not Mathbox. This is just me talking here.
Well, I mean, Mathbox doesn't disagree. We have him in between Ted Ginn and above Devin Funchess, who has been somebody that people have been starting a lot this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
against the worst secondary in the entire NFL, according to Mathbox, at least, I think you can do it.
Let's talk about a couple other people who are up against terrible secondaries that kind of sneak into our low-end running, our wide receiver to kind of waiver wire / end your roster guys. Let's talk about Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
A pickup from a couple weeks ago that we think is still a reasonable flex. Had a good game last week.
Yeah, he was good. He had like 27 points.
Oh, yeah. He was that high?
141
yards. Killed it. Yeah.
And a touchdown. Like, pretty great. I mean, he's the number one in Washington. He had 8 targets. ECR is actually much higher on him
than we are.
12.
At 12?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised too.
Wow.
But he's been really good. So, and also against Dallas, who's terrible, 29th against the pass.
Yeah. So I think you're looking to try to get Crowder into your lineup this week.
I think so, for sure. I mean, definitely this week. And he was against the Giants in week 12. Which is not obviously not a good defense. So it seems like the same thing could repeat.
Yep, absolutely. New York Giants are 23rd against wide receivers for reference, by the way. Robbie Anderson also
kind of the same
for the
thing.
Jets, kind of the same deal.
Yeah. Came on the last couple of games. He's just
had a monster game this week.
Yeah, 32 points, 2 touchdowns, 146 yards, like crazy. I mean, a bunch of solid games, like going back to week 7.
Yep.
He had 12 points. Week 8, 22.5, 9, 14, 8. Week 10, 18.5. He had a bye in week 11. And then he just recently had 32 points. So,
And they're against KC, who is 31st against wide receivers.
Yeah. And he's under 80% owned. Now, again, you mentioned it might be just dead leagues. That's fine.
He's a waiver pick he had to make a month ago or so, but boy, has it paid off.
Yeah, surprisingly paid off.
Yep. You want to talk about Dez Bryant again?
I don't really want to because I have him in two leagues, I think.
Yeah.
Just not, I mean, Dallas has fallen apart. I would try to avoid starting him, actually. Yeah. You probably can't, but I mean, what else are you going to do about it? It's a bad matchup, too.
Well,
so.
I mean, there's actually a decent chance that maybe you're a team that has, you know, you got Jameson Crowder or Robbie Anderson trying to figure out how to work him into the lineup, and you're just going like, bye-bye, Dez.
Yeah, if you made some good pickups, you can avoid it. He hasn't been very useful.
We have Dez at 12 on MathBox, and that's somebody who I think has a big down arrow next to him.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and I similar situation to Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Like, we have Thomas at 18 and Emmanuel Sanders at 29. They're just, I think they're flex players at best going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
Of those guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's Paxton Lynch throwing the ball or if it's Trevor Siemian. Yeah. Lynch is out.
Yeah.
But even if it's, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Or if Brock Icewater comes back.
I don't think they're going to be effective.
Yeah.
So flex at best. You probably have to start them, or at least Thomas, based on where you drafted them, but hopefully not.
Hopefully not at this point in the season.
Yeah.
Got anybody else on your wide receiver list?
I had two notes. MathBox hates AJ Green against Pittsburgh.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Down at 36. And actually, ECR is real, you know, real high, number 7. So this is one of the ones that caught my eye.
Yeah, that's insane,
It's a really big split. I mean, usually math boxes will be a little bit different than ECR. Sometimes it's right on. This is so different. I feel like we have to note it. And
yeah.
I think it might just be that it's Pittsburgh, and he has not done well against Pittsburgh, or at least this year. The other game, he had like 7 points. So maybe it's looking at that. I'm not totally sure.
Feels pretty aggressively low.
Yeah, but it's telling you not to start him.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So
I don't buy it. I don't buy
it. It's hard to bench AJ Green.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that.
I just saw that and I was like, whoa.
Similarly.
Because he's been averaging like 15 points a game, except for that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah. So, I mean, 15 points is easily startable as far as our projections go. That's about 16, 18 wide receiver.
Yeah. And then the only other note I had was DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, right below him there.
Who is the opposite of the DeSean Jackson you know. We mentioned this once a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's been like super consistent.
Yeah.
This year. I mean, usually you expect him to be way up and down, 20 points or two or whatever.
Yep.
And we have it at 37. ECR has him at 26. But in PPR, he's just been chugging along about 12 points like almost every week. So solid start, low end RB2.
So 12
flex range.
So 12 points would be right about where he's ranked right now. So the back, like, low end flex.
So maybe MathBox is more correct than ECR is what
maybe.
We're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're saying, if you're, cause what happens towards the end of wide receivers, we get a lot of people in that kind of middle 14 and a half points to 13 points projection. There's a ton of people just kind of jammed in that range.
It's really tight.
And he's just in the middle of it. So I think that there's a lot of interchangeable people there. And so if that's what he has been scoring all year, then I think he's definitely kind of like flex, and that's maybe it.
Yeah. I mean, since week 5, he's been really good. He's only really had 2 bad games since then.
Yeah.
It against Green Bay, 28th against the Pats.
Yeah. So that's what makes me think this might have some upside.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the point is, you're probably starting DeSean Jackson. That's all I got for wide receivers.
Awesome.
And last but not least.
Last but always least.
The tight ends.
And here we are. So it's looking kind of boring at the top of tight end, but this is the natural order that we've settled into, and it makes a ton of sense. It's Kelce, Ertz, Gronkowski, and PPR for tight end in your top 3. That's us.
And Jack Doyle at number 4.
Jack Doyle at number 4. Popular streamer earlier in the season, and now just, it seems like, in every week start. Yeah, totally locked in. He's definitely been in our top 12 for a long time, and I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Number 5, though, has been sort of made a splash this the last couple of weeks. It's Arizona's tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones, who we wrote about in our waiver wire column. And boy, you want to talk about somebody that you...
It's coming out of nowhere?
Yeah, and this is also one of those, like, so have you seen the, like, stat line that he has?
For the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, what are the numbers?
He's well, he's basically just been scoring touchdowns like crazy. I mean, a week ago, he was 3 for 54 and 2 touchdowns for yep. like 20 points in PPR.
Yep.
And then he was 4 for 72 and a touchdown for 17.
Yeah, I believe that...
From nothing.
That over the last 2 weeks that he has 10 targets, 7 receptions, and 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it's obviously unsustainable, right. But he's done it twice in a row. I mean, he is up against the Rams next week, which is not a good matchup.
Right.
Traditionally, I mean, the Rams have been kind of weird lately, but
yep.
Based on the desperation at that position, if you don't have one of the top 3 or 4 guys, like if you don't have Kelce, Ertz, Gronkowski, or Jimmy Graham,
yep.
you are looking...
Like
probably.
I said, like we said a couple of episodes yeah. ago, it's Kelce, Ertz, Gronkowski, Graham, and a bunch of slot machines.
Yeah, a bunch That's of slot machines. Is. Yeah. Some more consistent slot machines than others, like Vernon Davis or whatever, but...
Kyle Rudolph, I guess.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph actually was, yeah, came back to life, but I think he's... I mean, you can pick him up. He's available, typically.
Yeah, he was when we... He's been very hyped as a waiver wire ad this week. I've heard about him on multiple channels. We wrote about him. So he was well within of our availability kind of set, like the constraints that we put around availability when we published our waiver wire article a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his percentage is now, but if you grabbed him, you're obviously desperate enough to take a shot at putting a bunch of points up mm-hmm. from a tight end, from nobody.
Worked out so far. This is the hot hand that I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's maybe time to do that. I know it kind of bucks conventional wisdom, like play your studs when it matters, but you might not have a stud. You might
almost
have
certainly
to play.
Don't have a stud at
yeah,
tight end.
You might, yeah.
And you know, there's two types of people in week 13. Really show you there's two types, right, Dave?
Okay,
there's three
I really
types.
Want to know where this
there's three
is going.
Types of people. The type three is the one that barely sets their lineup in week 13 because they're out.
Yeah.
Okay. Type two is the people who are comfortably in the middle, trying to get better playoff berths, trying to get that regular season kind of bonus jackpot money, however your league is set up, where they've had good teams all year. And they're going to play the guys that they've played all year. They're going to try to dance with who took them there. And they're going to go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, happens. And then there's the people who are 6-6. Or let's say in some cases it might be people that are, 5-7, but have a good point total and are trying mm-hmm. to sneak in. And that's where you're looking at someone like Ricky Seals-Jones going,
where's my lottery ticket?
Plug in the lottery tickets.
Yeah.
I need the all upside team.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to roll the dice and see what happens. And so if you're that person who's trying to sneak into the playoffs by playing the hot hands, like Dave said, this is it.
Yep. This is it for the last week. So
be prepared to lose.
But
be prepared to win. Awesomely, if you do win.
Yeah, actually, you know, our call last week, Mathbox's call, I should say, was Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
Who did fine.
Did great.
It was 5 for 52 or something. Yeah. Got you like 10 points, which is yeah. totally cool.
Keep in mind, it was sort of like a shared call because Mathbox had him ranked in the like 16th or 17th in it. So it wasn't like a clear start. It was just you and I were looking at the rankings going, who could somebody possibly spot start? Yeah, he was outside of
okay.
projected startability.
I thought we had him higher.
But there just wasn't anybody on the waivers who were higher that we could use.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and I read a little bit about Julius Thomas and some stuff about Adam Gase saying that they kind of overlooked him earlier in the season. They were working... I mean,
yeah.
Look, that's a coach talking.
Talk. Yeah,
yeah. It's coach talk, but, you know, his targets have been a lot more consistent. And
yep. You like Thomas again this week? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think it might kind of be for real. He's playing Denver. Which
actually has...
Denver is not good against a tight end, surprisingly. Yeah. They're good against everybody else, but not tight ends.
Yeah, and we have him even lower this week at number 20.
And then he's against New England.
Which is also bad
yeah,
against the tight end.
So he might not be a terrible choice, even though we've got him pretty low.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And ECR's got him at 16 this week.
So it's got him a couple slots higher.
Yeah, but not much. Yeah. So
the, you know, from here, the only other tight end I would be a little bit like checking out or a little bit interested in that's maybe has some spot start potential. Charles Clay is within our top 10.
Yeah.
He's been available in a lot of leagues. I've noticed as he's kind of come back, I definitely added him, played him, dropped him, re-added him, dropped him. So there's a chance that he's out there to be grabbed and played. Jason Witten is not, unfortunately, at this point anymore, but he's within our top 10. If you're looking for somebody, I think that that's kind of where you're at. If you're looking at tight end streaming, by the time you get to another name that's widely available, you get back to Julius Thomas again. So if you're looking for spot starts, maybe Charles Clay, maybe Ricky Seals-Jones, maybe Julius Thomas, like Dave said. Other than that, you know, if you have a solid tight end and, or you have somebody that you're just praying gets eight.
Yeah, the only other guy that I wanted to mention was Hunter Henry, who surprisingly actually had a good game against Dallas last week. So put up 18 points, got a touchdown, which is something he has not done in a very, very long time. So, you know, we don't have him highly ranked at all, but he is playing Cleveland, who is horrible, 31st against tight ends. So he might, if desperation mode...
Yeah.
This is a guy you could start.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. All right, that does it. We end of week 13.
Woo!
So this is us hoping that you are gonna get everything you deserve, that all your bubble teams make it. You know, I should say that more nicely, because when you say people are going to get what they deserve, that always sounds mean. We hope that all your bubble teams make it in the playoffs. We hope that you go deep into the playoffs. We hope that you know, Case Keenum and Juju Smith-Schuster and all of our friends can carry you forward towards your Super Bowl victories.
All your hot hands. Continue to be hot hands.
Yeah. Become entire hot players instead of just hot hands. So just a reminder, you want to reach out to us? You want to argue with us about anything? You want to send us a note, send us a thought, send us some feedback? podcast@fantasyoutliers.com is the email address to reach us at. If you would be so kind as to rate us on iTunes, that's always helpful. So that would be great. If you want to find our rankings article, that is the article that shows the spreadsheet, kind of a abbreviated spreadsheet with our commentary. That is ranks.fantasyoutliers.com. That will be up by the time you get this podcast. If you want to see the uncut projections and see all the many fields of data that there are to be gleaned and sorted and looked at and multiplied, that is at projections.fantasyoutliers.com. So the final thing is, come and hit us up on Twitter on Sunday mornings between about 11 and 1 Eastern, where we'll be there live tweeting advice to people at the hashtag fantasy football advice, or you could just tweet, you know, at us directly, and we will, you know, someone will be monitoring the account, and we'll be out kind of giving people start sit advice as we go into this pivotal week, week 13. Dave, you want to talk about what the plan is going forward?
Yeah. So, you know, everybody hopefully goes to the playoffs, but probably some people won't. We're going to continue to do podcasts regardless, at least through next week, next couple weeks. The plan isn't 100% solidified, I wouldn't say, but we're gonna continue on here.
Expect them to get shorter.
Yeah,
they'll probably
get shorter as the audience probably gets shorter,
right?
As people get eliminated, but you know, we're also gonna do a wrap up show at some point, talk about the year from 10,000 feet. You know, as we started the year talking about big strategy stuff, maybe we'll end the year doing something similar. So. And then we'll probably end up grading ourselves at some point, probably in the off season.
Right. That's going to take a while to put together.
Yeah. That's a whole exercise in itself. So that might be a while, but, you know, we're going to do that, kind of give MathBox a grade on a bunch of different stuff.
Yep. So you can expect us to be here the next couple of weeks. And then after that, we're going to play it by ear. But for now, we're still here for you.
I just want to point out that the Kentucky Struts, who provided our theme song, their engineer, my cousin Adam, It got nominated for a Grammy today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He was the engineer on an album, a gospel album, surprisingly.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. They're going to find out, end of January or something.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He was like really stoked about it. So
I would be too. I mean, I've never been nominated for a Grammy.
I know. It's awesome.
I do have an Oscar, but we'll talk about that some other time.
That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will get back to you guys in a week or so. Good luck with week 13. We hope you get there.
Good luck, everybody. Bye.